Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. For this segment, remarks from Evangela Pringles during a 40 Days for Life celebration on a small hill separating a Planned Parenthood abortion facility and the Waterleaf Pro-Life Women's Center in Aurora. Ms. Pringles is the director of Pregnancy Aid Illinois.
Again, my name is Evangela, and I grew up in Wheaton, so Aurora is a part of my area where I grew up in. I was raised by a single mother, six kids. She raised us on the second pew of our church, Wheaton Christian Center. I now serve out here with my sister and our family at the Wheaton Christian Center Aurora location over on Lincoln Way. I am the proud auntie, or TT as we say in our culture, of 12 nieces and nephews and six great nieces and nephews. So our work is cut out for us. We are living our mom's legacy and making sure that our family raises kids to serve the Lord. We're having some struggles like we all are, but that's what our focus in life is, to raise my mom's legacy, because she put us on the second pew and she put us before the Lord before she really even understood. And so I grew up pro-life. Didn't necessarily know really what it was, but I knew that babies were important to God. My three nephews, there's one that's out of town. The other two are here, Jesse and John. These boys are safe from abortion. Their maternal grandmother tried to force their biological mother to abort them, each of them, as they came into the world. But my mother, my sister, and I laid on our faces before the Lord for their lives. And they're here today. They serve in our church. They pray every week for their friends. They pray for their family. They pray for our government, and they pray for our school system. Every week, these boys know the Lord. They are named Jesse for a reason, John for a reason, and Joseph for a reason. Those names are strong in the Bible, and they are named for that, and they have a legacy to live out, whether they know it or not. They have a legacy to live out. I'm here to talk about why prayer is necessary to cover the pro-life issues and initiatives. So, number one, is important because it's important to our God. He is our creator, and our triune God created each and every one of us, from the terra firma to the sky to the plants, the ocean. This earth we live on is populated and feeds all of us miraculously. No matter what those liberals in DC are saying, this earth provides for us because of his master craftsmanship. This universe we occupy, we're a very small blip on it. It's because of his master craftsmanship. But though he created all those things, he didn't get the joy of fatherhood. He wanted to be a father. That joy that you men experience, that joy that we women experience, even though I've never been a mother, but I'm an auntie to a lot. There's something special about that fatherhood. And he wanted to experience that, so he created man. He breathed life into humanity. Genesis 1:26-7 really speaks on this. I like the Message version. I'm not a King James girl quite yet, but I like the Message version, I like the NIV. But the Message version says, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. That's it. Nothing else. Male and female. And he blessed them. So humanity holds a special place in his heart. Our Creator is a love God, and he is 100% what real love is, not the fake love we think we know. He's the real love. Scripture tells us that we are fearfully, wonderfully made. It tells us that he knitted us in our mother's womb. It tells us that he knew us before we were even conceived. That's a love God. He's so interested that he knows every hair on your head. He knows everything there is about us because he created us. But we're also a fallen, flawed creation. We have a choice, which he gave us. And because of that, sin entered the world. And so we have to battle the demonic, the spirit realm. Our fight is not here in the natural. What those young ladies are experiencing is a spirit that is trying to confuse them, to pressure them into something they really do not want to do. If you get the opportunity like I do on a daily basis, because I work for Pregnancy Aid Illinois. This is our parent company, Pregnancy Aid South Suburbs. But I work for Pregnancy Aid Illinois, and I run a center, and I get to talk to those young ladies every day. And we try to tell them, you know, just slow down a minute. Take a breath. And I love that part because I learned in my Bible study, Ambassadors for Christ, that Yahweh, take a breath. Yahweh. That is proclaiming our Creator. That breath in, Yah. That breath Ahweh. They're proclaiming their Creator. And that gives them an opportunity to slow down and think about what decision they're going to make. Now, we don't always know what the outcome is, but those times that we do, you better believe that heaven is rejoicing, because our God is not happy when he sees his creation destroyed. It does anger him, and we do know he is an angry God. He is 100% of all of his attributes. If I made a cup in school and I gave it to my mom didn't like it, she threw it away or broke it, that would hurt me. That would make me upset. Same with God. It's his creation. He knit, he knows, he created each of us. So when his creation is destroyed or cast aside, it hurts him. Why is it important to pray? We establish prayer altars. We take a subject and we say, this is what we're going to focus on. So we're focusing on fighting against abortion, fighting against the culture in our country that says that it's okay. It is not your body, your choice. You have one heart. You don't have two. That other heart beating does not belong to you. You are just the incubator, the carrier. It does not belong to you. What you are carrying is not yours to make a decision on. One of the things that the Lord gave me is that we need to pray that the United States of America, since we have all these sinful people and these shameful ideals that are running rampant, we need to pray for our country. We need to start with our president, and we need to work our way on down to the lowest school system. That means our cities, our states, our villages. We need to pray from the top to the bottom. But we also need to pray that our Bible-believing Christians get up, stand up, and fight for righteousness. We cannot continue to allow this country that was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics to continue to go down the toilet. We can't allow that. We must stand up. We must fight for what God believes in. We also need to pray that our churches, our church, that means we're preaching about God. But why are our churches not preaching the real gospel? Why are they not standing in the pulpit and saying, no, that's wrong. This is what God wants. We need to pray for our churches to take back that mantle and to deliver the gospel, to deliver the Great Commission as God intended. We need to pray that our government and school systems will evict the illicit lies of the liberals, like Planned Parenthood, from indoctrinating our children and put that money to better use in schools and communities. Give those kids something to do where they're not in the streets doing things that are just not godly. Then let us pray for our girls, that our girls will be girls and our boys will be boys, and that they will resist peer pressure and any pressure to engage in any level of sex before they are ready, which means marriage, not before, but after they stand before their pastor and say, I do, to who has gone with them through marital counseling, so they know when you say I do, you have to mean it, and you have to be ready to stand in it through the thick and the thin, in sickness and in health. Also, let us pray that the perverts and pedophiles, not minor attractors, I hate that term because that's softening, it's a pedophile. It is a pervert who is trying to put their hands on our children and take our children's parents' rights away. We need to stand against that. We need to stand in our rights to vote, stand in our government offices and demand that we voted for you for a reason. Now you vote that way that we have demanded you vote. We need to pray that God's will and laws will prevail in the United States before time is up. We're looking at revelations every day on TV. And if you're not seeing that, then you better get in Daniel, you need to get in Ezekiel, and you need to get in Revelations to understand what you're seeing on TV in the news every day. But we need to also pray for our families and friends, because we don't want to leave people here. There are going to be some left, but as many as you can bring to the fold, to bring into the salvation of Christ, that's what God wants. He said that he doesn't want any to be left, any to be lost, but it's up to us to do the Great Commission. So let us also pray that our families and our neighbors to see the truth of Christ. That's what we are. We're saved by his grace. It's not anything we did. It's nothing we can earn. It's by his grace and his love for us that he saved us. So without him, we are nothing. So I want to thank you all for coming. And I want to say that this is really encouraging for me, who sits in an office all day and shoulders the weight of what goes through that door. It's a heavy load. And this is so encouraging to know that you all are here and that you pray and that you lift up the name of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus over this industry. So thank you and God bless you.
Evangela Pringles with Pregnancy Aid Illinois during a 40 Days for Life celebration in Aurora. After a timeout, rally remarks from the Reverend Cesar LaFleur. Join Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. To reserve seats for this very special evening, go to illinoisfamily.org.
I do get called every name in the book, but what's scarier to me is not standing firm in the truth.
Riley Gaines, a 12-time All-American collegiate swimmer, praised by President Trump for her fight for fairness in women's sports. Like IFI, Riley is advancing truth.
It's actually compassionate to tell the truth. That's what love is.
An evening you don't want to miss. Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. Act fast to reserve seats. Go to illinoisfamily.org, illinoisfamily.org. Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight for this segment. Remarks from the Reverend Cesar LaFleur during the 2020 Rally for Jesus held on the campus of Calvary Church in Orland Park. Cesar is the pastor of the Spirit of Liberty Church of God in Markham. He's an Illinois Family Institute board member and the executive director of the Good Soil, Good Seed Scholarship Foundation. The Reverend Cesar LaFleur on Real Peace, Even in the Storm.
Before I bring you some challenges, I do want to start off by giving you some encouragement. And I remember the words of our Lord Jesus talking to his disciples in John chapter 16. He says, I tell you these things so that you can have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But he said, but take heart, be encouraged, because I have overcome the world. So I'm here to let you know today that no matter how dark the day might be, you can have peace. Even in the midst of a pandemic, you can have peace. Even in the midst of riots, you can have peace. Because the Bible has made a promise to us. He says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Even in the midst of these dark times that we're living in, and these are crucial days that we're living in, I'm here to let you know, people of God, that we can have peace if we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and not be distracted by the things that appear, but look beyond this natural thing and see into the spirit world and see where the promises of Jesus reside when he says, I have overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, we shall overcome the world as well. Is there anybody here that's glad to hear that today? Even in the midst of a storm, you can have peace, great peace, perfect peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. You know, we are really living in some challenging times. This week, I was without power the whole week. And I kind of cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, how much more can I stand? I've had to be shut in the house because somebody has come along and said that a virus is going to kill everybody. And so we had to shut everything down. You know, we've had riots and we have all of these different things going on in politics and in our community. And it just made me think about how it was for David and the times that he was living in. I thought about David in Psalm chapter 11. Because in that time period, we found that David was under a lot of pressure, similar to what we're under. You know, Saul was in power and he was ruling wickedly. Saul was after him aggressively. He's running for his life. His friends came to him and said, man, you got to get out of here. You got to run. Your time is short. You better cut bait and run. But David started that 11th of Psalm off by saying, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. He says, why are you telling me to run? Why are you telling me to flee? But then in verse 3, he asked an interesting question that I want to just share with us for a few moments today. Because he said, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the foundations that he was talking about then are the same foundations we're talking about right now. Those foundations, those principles, those things that we depended on, those things that were truth, those things that were righteous, those things that were holiness, all of those foundational principles, he says, when they are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we going to build on? What are we going to do? What can we accomplish in a time such as this? And that challenge remains to us today because we can clearly see that all of the foundations are being destroyed. The foundation of truth is being destroyed. You know, I've heard it said that men will tolerate anything nowadays except the truth. You want to get somebody upset with you? Tell them the truth. Jesus said, for this cause I was sent, for this reason I came to testify to the truth. Truth is vitally important, but the foundation of truth is being washed away. There is no truth. Whatever's convenient for a person at that moment, that's what passes as truth nowadays. And so the foundation of truth is being destroyed. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Even the foundation of righteousness. This nation has turned its back on righteousness, and we've embraced a secular humanism that's leading us into the path of destruction. You know, one of my heroes from history is Frederick Douglass. And Frederick Douglass says, I have one theory when it comes down to politics. I have one ideology, and it's something I depend on all the time. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm here to let you know that righteousness is going to be what exalts our nation, but the foundation of righteousness is being wiped away. We've turned our back on righteousness, and we have become that Romans 1 society where we've chosen not to maintain a knowledge of God in our memory, and we've turned our back on him. Nowadays, everything is accepted except the gospel of Jesus Christ in our institutions. You can teach Islam in the schools, but you can't teach about Jesus Christ. They can burn Bibles, but you better not step on a Quran because people are turning their back on righteousness. You guys have heard about the foundation of the sanctity of life. It is gone. You know, I get an attitude with people sometimes when they get all upset because of all of the violence and murder in the streets. I say, if we don't protect the life of babies in the womb, how dare you assume that you're going to protect the sanctity of life in the streets? 65 million babies legally aborted in America since 1973. And as a black person, I'm appalled at it because I know it was designed and developed for us. The black population has decimated ourselves. 50% of our population is gone. For a period of time in New York, more black children were aborted than were actually born because the sanctity of life is no longer important. If you're going to tell me that black lives matter and I'm going to take you seriously, then I better see you respecting black life in the womb. If you're going to write it in front of the White House, if you're going to write it on the side of your buildings, then you better write it in front of Planned Parenthood. And you better let them know that every one of these black lives is precious in the sight of God. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The family, that foundation is gone. In the black community, that foundation is gone. And we're seeing all of the negative consequences because of that. We're seeing what's going on now. Can I tell you something that's going to shock you? And I'm revealing a little information about my own people. Did you know that a black child had a better chance of growing up with a mother and father doing slavery than he does right now? right now, because the black family has been decimated. 72% of black children are born out of wedlock. There's no father present in the home because the foundation of the family has been destroyed. And it's not just us, y'all families, white families are the same way. The families are in decline. These foundations are being destroyed. But the question is, what can the righteous do? Well, I'm going to leave you with this, is that I believe that not all of the foundational destruction is happening from the devil. I believe that God is shaking some things up as well. And God is crushing some foundations because they were built improperly. God is shaking some things up and shaking some things out because God wants to let us see that what we have been building our hope on is not a firm foundation. There is no firmer foundation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is telling us, this is what you're going to have to go back to, because those things that you've depended on are not dependable. You know what? Here's a perfect illustration of it right here. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was saying that any church that's built on the foundation of faith in me is indestructible. You hear me? Indestructible. Nothing that the devil can do can destroy it. But along comes the governor and says that you are not allowed to go in the church. But here's a perfect illustration of that ain't the church. That's just a building where the church goes into every once in a while. This is the church of Jesus Christ right here. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Wherever two or three of us will come together in his name, it could be in a parking lot. It could be on the street corner. It could be in an alley. No matter where it is, that becomes the church, because we are the incarnational ecclesia. We are the presence of God in the world. Don't let anybody fool you. You can outlaw these things. Go ahead on. Take your tax exemptions back. Go ahead on. The church of Jesus Christ will still go forward.
Amen.
But we have to build on some better foundations, because the church of Jesus Christ is the answer for this world. Listen, in Mark chapter 9, the disciples were asking Jesus, they said, listen, why isn't it that we can't, you know, deliver this child from this demon? Why can't this come out? Jesus says, well, some things only come out through prayer and fasting. The foundations that we're going to have to rebuild upon are going to have to be the foundation of our faith principles. And the number one is going to have to be that we're going to have to repent and pray that God will send a spiritual awakening into this nation, and that God will send a revival into this church. Because I tell you what, no matter what else we do, it's not going to stop until the Spirit of God comes along and sweeps across this nation, sweeps across this state, sweeps across this city. The presence of God comes and shake us up and wake us up, and the Holy Spirit fall on us, and he changes us, and he transforms us in his presence, and he takes away the appetite for those wicked things, and he gives us an appetite for those things which are righteous, holy, and good. That's what we need the Spirit of God to do for us. And I tell you what, when God does that, Washington won't be able to stand, Springfield won't be able to stand, City Hall won't be able to stand against the power of God's resurrected church. Rise up, church, and be the presence that God is calling for us to be in these evil days. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that God would keep you, and that he would keep you encouraged, because the enemy wants to, like he said, sift you like wheat. He wants to make you give up. He wants to make you hold your head down. He wants to make you give up hope. But don't give up hope. Jesus is our hope, and we are the hope bearers for the world. The world is looking for hope in all the wrong places, but God has given us the answer. The answer for the problems in the world is the kingdom of God. And so I'm praying that God would keep you encouraged. What would it be like if the church of Jesus Christ got bold and stood up and said, I don't care what you think about me, for God I'll live and for God I will die. That God would give you a boldness to speak out, whether it's convenient or not. I don't care if they want to hear it. It's the truth, and you're going to hear it anyhow, because you're held captive, and it's the truth that's going to set you free. That God would give you a boldness to declare the truth. And then God would start a revival in his church, an awakening in his church, that we would rise up like power, rise up with authority, rise up and take our places in society and declare what is right and what is true, and live like the people of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love and your great faithfulness towards us. You are a faithful God, and you abide of faithful. And Father, we need to depend on that, because right now, in the midst of a faithless society, we need to lean on your faith, on your presence, on your strength, on your love, on your mercy. We need you now. And that you would give us courage, and that you would give us an anointing of boldness, oh God. That you would amplify our voices, and that you would amplify our footsteps. Chase the enemy away from in front of us, oh God. And give us open passage to fulfill our destiny in your kingdom. People need salvation. People need to be saved. People need to be transformed and changed. We need an Isaiah 6 kind of moment where we come into your presence and we realize how undone we are and how wicked we are, but that you would take from the altar the coals and touch our lips, and that you would purge us and transform us and change us in your presence to be more like you, O God. And then that others would come to know you in the pardon of their sin. Give us a revival in the church. Continue to give us courage to be able to proclaim the truth in such a wicked state. And Father, would you through us turn our nation back to you? Father, we need you right now, oh God. And we are not afraid, because we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Reverend Cesar LaFleur, during the 2020 Rally for Jesus, organized by the Illinois Family Institute on the campus of Calvary Church in Orland Park. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. To give, click Donate on the IllinoisFamily.org homepage. Go to IllinoisFamily.org to sign on for IFI email updates and to visit our events page. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.